It's 1 o'clock.
Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Who possibly could have a wardrobe malfunction for the first time in 13 years.
I knew you were going to bring that up. you're just flaunting it now, aren't you? I know you are.
When you get to one's age that one is, one can only really show the décolleté or the décollage.
I don't know what she's going on about. I really don't.
One can only show the chest, the shoulders.
I don't want to know. You're frightening me.
Too much. Flesh is not done.
Anyway, apart from that...
he nearly fell off the chair when I came.
How's your toe?
My toe, Paul Andrews, is terrible. Let me show the
air. No, don't start putting your legs in the air. For goodness sake, woman.
I need sympathy. Who would know that an extremity would cause so much agony? Mm. You know, I had my AstraZeneca. I got arnica.
All right.
You know, I had my AstraZeneca COVID vaccine March.
Here we go.
And I had so many symptoms and was so ill that I couldn't really concentrate on what else was going on. And I have been saying to my new husband that my balance when sober was not what
it
should be.
Which isn't a situation that happens often, is it?
No, but now and then, when I am sober. And I'm not partaking of a little bit of organic wine and Simpsons is very pleasant.
Is that what you're into at the moment?
Kentish, yeah.
Have you and Rebecca been up the good shed again?
We do go for a little foray now and then.
I saw you went for lunch and staggered home about midnight, didn't you?
Yeah, and often, in fact, the owner, Suzanne, who's lovely, she strides around in Wellington boots and things, she leaves me to lock up.
I'm not surprised.
Because she gets fed up waiting for me to finish.
Yeah.
But I did notice my balance was affected, Paul Andrews. So I came out of my lovely bathroom and I've got a marble skirting board. Tim would like it, Tim Aker, because he's very smart, isn't he? He'd love my bathroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a snappy dresser.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of... ploughed into the corner of the marble and really hurts.
You don't want to do that. You'll stub your toe if you do that.
I know. And I've been hobbling ever since.
Blimey.
Very sad. Let's talk about other things.
Yeah, let's.
So, number one, who might our sponsor be?
Ah, right. I'm glad you raised that.
Yeah, who might it be?
The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates. Locke Associates. They'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to their website, which is lockassociates.co.uk. And that's Locke, spelt in the Scottish way,
well,
L-O-C-H.
I might be writing to them.
Oh, why?
About my toe.
Well, you're going to sue someone.
Well, no. You know health and well-being at work.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What did you make me do today?
I don't know.
You made me go down 10 flights of stairs to collect our guest. I had to hobble, didn't I, Sue?
Oh, here we go.
Lovely Sue Moon.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put in an official complaint and we'll file it in the bin.
She has a little bit of sympathy. She saw me hobbling and she offered me some arnica. She had some in her handbag, of course.
Yes. But by the same token, you traumatised me when I arrived. When you arrived.
Yeah, that was a malfunction.
Yeah. Hey, listen, anyway.
What do we say about National Insurance and the news?
It's rubbish.
Okay.
The news isn't rubbish, but it's rubbish.
Some of the news is rubbish.
It's rubbish that they're putting up National Insurance. They're not only putting up Rational Insurance either.
Rational Insurance?
No, they're not even rationally putting up National Insurance.
Yeah, what are they doing?
They're also putting up...
Income tax
on share dividends.
I have to say, they have thrown so much at furlough. You and I were saying this.
Oh, they're trying to claw it back.
The money has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? So I kind of think...
Yeah, they could just bin HS2 and save under £1 billion.
Well, they could.
But that would be too simple, wouldn't it?
And have you seen what they're doing to Stonehenge? They're wrecking it. I did a tweet this morning. It's just awful.
They've got the builders in, have they?
Yeah, they have. Oh, they're turning it into a solar farm, probably.
Yeah.
But what would you have done if you were Boris? To claw back the money.
Do you really want to know what I would have done if I was Boris?
Gone to Greece on holiday.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah. No,
what would you have done?
No, I don't want to get into it in a big way, but basically, I think the biggest issue is with taxation is it's very easy for everybody to claim that somebody else ought to pay the tax. Yeah. But the fact is, it doesn't work like that. You know, we need to recover our economy at the end of this pandemic. And there's a lot of businesses that are struggling already.
Yeah.
If you start to put up employers' national insurance and you start to put up dividend tax and other taxes, bearing in mind everything else is going up as well.
Yeah.
You know, electricity is going up, gas is going up, business rates are going up. It's not just one thing that rises. You know, we have inflation kicking in and we have a lot of people that are coming out of furlough and are trying to recover their businesses.
Yeah.
If their costs are going to go up even more, you know, very soon we have another rise due for minimum wage and stuff like that. Mm. So the costs are going up for everything.
Yeah, staff.
And the only problem I can see with that is a lot of very small businesses are going to go, do you know what, it's not worth opening again. Mm. It's not worth my while. So in actual fact, they won't raise the money that they think they will. Yeah, because a lot of people won't pay it because they can't pay it. And that's the thing that you always have to balance with tax. And people, you know, I had an argument last night on
Twitter.
Another one? Yeah, well, people... The tax code in this country runs to 12,000 pages. And even tax specialists don't understand the whole thing.
Mm.
But you get idiots on Twitter that tell you all kinds of nonsense. And they've got one that they post regularly about Marcus Rashford, the footballer.
Yeah, yeah. Who's done so much for school dinners and lunches.
It's immaterial. I don't care whether he's right, wrong or indifferent.
Mm.
But what they post is just wrong. Yeah, it's wrong from a
so give us a clue of what they were posting.
Well, basically, they go, oh, last year, Marcus Rashford didn't pay any tax. He paid himself $4,000 and then gave himself a director's loan and he didn't pay tax. And you go, yes, he did pay tax because he's a Premiership footballer and all Premiership footballers pay PAYE.
Yeah.
It's part of the contract. So I worked out he paid £3.9 million in income tax last year.
Right. Yeah? So he's done his bit.
Yeah. So, but not only that, in his personal company, and the figure they got was from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
The $4,500 is what you were allowed as a tax-free allowance for dividend payments. It used to be up to $5,000, and then in 2018 it was reduced to $2,000. So all he did is what every other company in the world did, is took their tax-free allowance. As for a director's loan, that is not tax efficient. It is not a tax avoidance scheme. Director's loans have to be repaid within 9 months, and you have to pay interest on it at 4% above base. If you fail to pay it back, you incur a Section 455.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And it's a Section 455, Section 4 something or other, 55, which means you have to pay income tax on it at 33 1/3%. Corporation tax at 33 1/3% on it, and if you still don't pay it back, you have to pay income tax on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's nothing, you know, it's nothing like they think it is. Mm. Yet they think they're being really clever and saying, "Oh," and it's because people don't understand our tax system.
So would you have put it on general tax?
No, I wouldn't
income tax.
I wouldn't raise taxes at all. I think it's the worst thing.
So
to
how
do
we get the money to pay?
Well, stop wasting it for a start.
Well, yeah, there is that. Social care. You know, I was taken to casualty again on Thursday, and 6 hours at your lovely Ashford Hospital. Actually, the staff were fabulous, but the repetition, you know, I was taken into one room with a nurse who was lovely, and she did my BP and she did this, that and the other, lay me down on a couch and all that. And then I went back to the waiting room. And then another nurse came about 10 minutes later and she said, I'm going to take your blood pressure. I said, you've just done that. It was nurse. And luckily I'd looked at the lady's badge and I said, nurse, you know, I can't mention her name, has just done that 10 minutes ago. Oh, right. OK. So she sent me out again. There's a lot of repetition.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
And
in any big organisation, there's waste.
And if they're listening, they said they'd phone me with the blood test results.
Oh, the government?
Oh, no. Ashford Hospital. And they still haven't. And that was Wednesday.
So you asked me what I would do.
Yeah. So you wouldn't put up income tax?
At this moment, I think it's the worst thing that you could possibly
riots,
do.
Probably.
Well, no, it's not that. I just think that what you need is...
We've got to get the economy back.
You need the economy to recover. Furlough ends this month.
Yeah.
So that's going to have a massive factor. There's still 2 million people on furlough.
Is that the end of September? Stops.
Yeah, so October is when it hits, when you're no longer being paid on furlough.
Yeah, yeah.
And an awful lot of those people that are currently on furlough will suddenly find themselves out of work.
Mm.
Now, as it happens, we've got over 1 million unfilled jobs at the moment. So
sure.
There's a lot of work about.
Yeah, there is.
But that you're going to get a huge turnover of people suddenly out of work.
Mm.
And whilst they're out of work, they're not paying income tax and national insurance at all.
And they're receiving...
And they're receiving benefits or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, it isn't... My whole point about this is it isn't as straightforward as people would like to believe that, you know, everybody's got this. Well, if, you know, every billionaire in the world paid more income tax, we wouldn't have a problem. But that's just straightforward arithmetic. Mm. I actually bothered to work it out once. Yeah. I actually bothered to work out.
This is what he does when we were watching Downton Abbey. You know,
If every billionaire in the UK... was charged 100% tax, the rest of us would get 1,200 quid each.
Oh.
Once.
Okay.
And that we'd only get it once, and you'd have 10 million unemployed.
I am amazed.
And you wouldn't have any billionaires left in the country.
Exactly, they'd all be in the Bahamas.
They'd all leave anyway, exactly.
I'm concerned by the amount of people that don't pay into their own sort of pension pot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to. We don't want to, but we've got to think about getting old, especially Paul and I. We've got to think about care when we're infirm, don't we? So it's up to us as well to claw a bit of our wage away or our salary and put it into whatever pension pot or SIPs or I don't know, whatever we do. Don't you think? It's our responsibility.
Well, it's not good telling me I'm a pensioner.
He's got his bus pass.
I've already taken one of my pensions.
Yeah, yeah. I actually get my state pension now.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would have done.
Yeah, well, they did you.
Well, they
I'm in that group.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, well, I when I was 65, that is when they changed the rules to 66, but now I'm 66, I've got my pension.
He's often to be seen riding on the top of a bus.
Anyway, enough of all that.
I would like to introduce the guests. I know you get a bit uppity if I do that at the end of the show, but I would like to say that we have
the interesting thing is she remembers your name.
Menopause. We have the lovely Sue Moon of Teapole Products, based in Sittingbourne?
No, based in Orpington.
Orpington in Kent.
She doesn't know where that is.
Yeah, I do. It's sort of Medway.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Bromley? The other side of the
Bromley?
No,
Bromley by Bow?
No.
Oh.
So you've lost her completely.
Hang on.
Now.
Is there a Bromley that's not Bromley by Bow?
Yes, there's a London borough of Bromley.
But didn't that used to be Kent in the old days?
Bromley used to be in Kent.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an apple field.
Now it's in London.
The next thing is to get her pronouncing Kent village names like West Malling and Iggatham and my favourite, Trotterscliff.
Yeah,
like,
Trotterscliff.
Trotterscliff is always one of my favourites.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Bromley once was a little Bramley growing apple field. It was not in London.
It probably was, yes. No, I think Bromley was originally in Kent. Orpington.
Okay.
But I pay business rates to Bromley, London borough.
Well, lucky Bromley.
Yeah.
And then flanking Sue Moon of Teapole Products, based in Bromley, and, you know, delivers throughout the UK and everywhere her fabulous products, of which Paul and I have got some, lovely hand washing.
I'm going to tell you about my squirrels and Sue's products as well.
But next, flanking Sue Moon, we have Tim Aker of the FSB, Kent.
I have to say, listener, Jules is very taken with Tim because...
He looks fabulous.
Tim has actually dressed for the occasion.
And he's actually got hair.
Yeah. And the rest of us in here are all just sitting in here in Speedos.
Yeah. I haven't even got blusher on, Sue. I said to Paul, you know, since COVID, I haven't got makeup. I haven't got blusher on. I've got a little smudge of
something. You did better than I did. You put some lipstick on.
A little bit of lippy. It's only because my lips get dry, you know. Fabulous show, I think. And, of course, we have someone in the corner who comes bearing tea cakes.
Yeah, Darren Wheel of Intune PR is with us.
Yeah.
Adjudicating affairs, I think, is the best way of putting it. He's making notes, anyway.
Beware, I've had a few of these tea cake bites, so I will be getting a sugar rush later.
Oh, dear. You're not supposed to eat them. Right, look, look, we've got thousands of tweets already.
Let's get cracking.
I need to start reading some of them, otherwise we'll not catch them all. The Rye Arts Festival has tweeted, just to let us know that Vera Van Heeringen and her trio will be playing at the Rye Arts Festival on Saturday the 18th of September. And Vera sings and writes songs and tunes straight to and from the heart. So check that out. Check them out on Twitter. Rye Arts is their Twitter handle. Green Business and Construction Hub are saying, do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services and want to collaborate with similar businesses and reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub. Their Twitter, I've got a website for it, greenbusinesshub.eco. Greenbusinesshub.eco. You can rewind if you want.
A big hello to Paragon Drones, who say that they're listening in. Mm. And, of course, the lovely Amanda Flanders.
I saw that.
Lounging by the pool.
I saw that.
I mean, is the horse there as well?
Not in my swimming pool.
Or the
pool.
Pony.
It better not be.
She's probably doing a bit of hydrotherapy while you're here.
With the pony in my swimming pool.
It's probably doing its horsey paddle.
I thought there was hairs blocking it when I went swimming last night.
You got your filter sorted. And, of course, lovely Tracy Ferguson of the Plucky's World. You can find her on Plucky's World. She's a personal development. She's a member of the Prince's Trust and a mentor for them. She's a lifelong learner. And you can find Plucky's World on Plucky with a Y, pluckysworld.com. She's based in Rochester, which I can pronounce, Sue.
Yeah. Yes. She doesn't know where it is, but she's based
it's
based
by
in
the
Rochester.
River. I do know where it is. I've been to a pub there. By the river. A lot of development going on there, isn't there?
She's from Essex, which excuses her. Sorry, Tim, but she's from Essex as well.
I'd go back. I'd go back if only the Dartford Tunnel didn't have so many queues.
Yeah, you need a passport to get through there.
I know.
The lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, again, have a super show, Paul and Jules. Could we have a shout-out, please? Of course you can. That's Michael Park Surveyors, commercial property specialist based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester, covering the southeast of England. Follow them on Le Twitter at MPSL.
Brilliant. And we have a little email here from Moat Park. They've got a new cafe.
Oh, from Maidstone Council, yeah?
Yes, it's from Maidstone Borough Council. And they say the building work for the brand new Moat Park Cafe in Maidstone is well underway with the steelworks of the structure in place. I hope they'll do better than my cafe on Whitstable Slopes. Did you see that?
I saw that, yeah. I saw you having a moan up at the council.
It's the tiniest cafe. It's probably about double the size of this with a loo. And the roof was leaking. It's council owned. And Debs, who runs it, does a really good job. So water was pouring in. Canterbury Council got a Hastings building group in for some reason, roofers. It started in June. The scaffolding went up. It's still not done. And she said they've left all this stuff, great big skips and things. And this is summer when she needs to get her business going. Obviously, she's had lots of lockdowns and things. And she, when it was leaking, she'd have to call them, and they were based in Hastings. So they would come in the next day. Mm. Why?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Procurement rules.
Come to the mic and say that to me.
Bonkers procurement rules.
Bonkers, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I mean, when I was a councillor, there was a...
Come to the mic, darling.
When I was a councillor in Essex, they'd have a company from Liverpool doing the gas maintenance.
Yeah. Absolutely barking.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So Maidstone Borough Council, who are probably not crazy, they're leading the work on the Moat Park Cafe, which is expected to be completed and open to the public next year, 2022. The new facility will include indoor and outdoor seating, flexible space for learning, an educational and meeting area for local schools and community groups to hire, and new, larger, modern toilet facilities. As you know, listener, I do like a new modern toilet.
She likes a toilet.
I do. The build of the new flexible space, cafe, landscaping and toilets will cost £2.5 million and is the second phase of the council's investment in the redevelopment and improvements of Moat Park. So that's in Maidstone. So well done. It's good to hear some positive news, and that sounds like an amazing community space.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Collector's buddy Martin has been on. Have a fab Business Bunker show. I'm listening this afternoon. And good luck with the show. Oh, thank you.
He won't be in the loft today, will he?
No, he's not in the loft.
Far too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see my roast chicken I had on the beach last night?
No.
Oh, it was lovely. I sloped down to the beach after work, and my new husband bought roast chicken.
Did you kick it in the egg?
Sweet potato. He cooked it in the big green egg, yeah, and then he schlepped down to the beach with it. Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had a gluten-free beer as well. Sweet potato. And we even had broccoli on the beach. That's nice, isn't it?
I'm surprised I didn't see that, because normally you inundate me with photographs
but
that.
You get a bit grumpy sometimes, so sometimes I don't copy you
in. I get a bit grumpy.
Yeah, sometimes I don't.
I tell you, 4 a.m., I get a text message. She's in, where were you?
I don't know.
Mariah. In Spain.
It's Valencia.
Valencia. I get a text message 4 a.m. from her. Hello, I'm in a karaoke bar. What shall I sing? I really couldn't give a stuffed jewel.
Because he is the guru of karaoke, apparently. Yes, I'm just answering Amanda Flanders. She's not even in the pool yet. She's, mucking out and all that.
Right.
So Tracy Ferguson, who's listening in, she's probably got a little daiquiri in the garden there.
Do you reckon?
Probably under a nice little umbrella. Probably wearing a nice summery dress and some heels. The pub by the river is probably the Crown. And thank you for the mention, Jules. Yeah.
Oh, right. I see. That was you speculating on which pub in Rochester.
Yeah, my neighbours are the Crays, as you know, Cray family.
Yeah.
But they're very sweet. But they owned practically every pub in Kent, and they've just sold one in Rochester to Shepherd Neame.
Right.
Which annoys me, because I like a free house, as you know.
Right.
I get a bit bored with Shepherd Neame, if they're listening, sorry, but I do. I like a free house.
Do you know what?
Tunage?
I think it's time we play some tunage and stop listening to you waffle.
Really? Yeah. I was just about to read a tweet. I'll wait.
No, well, go on, read a tweet and then I'll play the tunage.
Well, Tracy's chipping in, you see, so she is actually listening, and she's got some sensible things. So she says, Marcus Rashford, and so many... Is it Rashford or Rashford?
Rashford.
Yeah. And so much else, in brackets. Information can always be used selectively to promote a particular point of view.
Yep.
Great opening conversation and question, Jules. What would you do? Not sure he really answered, do you, Tracy? Brilliant thoughts from Paul. Well, he did answer some, I know. What will be the percentage of SMEs left by next year? A very, very astute tweet, that.
You can't tell exactly, who knows what's going to happen, but I saw some research a while ago that said that up to 25% of small businesses will not reopen after all of this pandemic shenanigans has fallen out. That's a lot of businesses. There's 5.8 million small businesses in the UK. 25% of that is a lot of businesses.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hope it isn't that many, but who knows?
I also hope that we carry on supporting our local shops and indies.
One of the things that coming back to your argument about the government clawing back furlough money and all the rest of it, one of the problems is, of course, a huge number of businesses have taken bounce back loans, have offset their VAT, have offset, corporation tax payments. All of that's got to be paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they come back and start doing business again, they're going to be staring at a massive debt.
Yeah.
And
what's it all about?
And a lot of them. And now, on top of that, the government have introduced tax rises. They're going to go, do you know what? Nah. If they're a limited company, they're just going to go,
No,
we'll fold.
There was that really good apprentice thing that I read out last week. I'll try and find it. There's, money for taking on and training apprentices.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah,
which loved. And we do have Brian the Grantsman, of course, with a little sort of chink of light. Can't say chink anymore, sorry, on air. A ray of light. Yeah. I got banned from Twitter for writing that.
She got banned from Twitter. She put a tweet up with two of them drinking wine, and she went chink, chink, and they banned her.
They banned me. It's ridiculous. So they never heard of a chink of light? Or a chink of glasses. I know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, a little ray from Brian the Grass.
Right, anyway, we're way past playing our tunage.
Yeah, go on, what you got?
I'm desperate to play this. Well, you tell me.
Oh, Moonlight Serenade.
Moonlight Serenade.
See what he did there?
Yeah.
Racking his brains, audience. Fabulous. Glenn Miller, isn't it? Fabulous song. Bit spooky.
Thank you.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Sorry, bit previous with a button there. Shouldn't have pressed that one.
It happens at your age.
What?
It happens at your age.
It does.
Turn me on.
You're on. Actually, what I meant to do was introduce our first guest. Yes. It was the lovely Sue Moon, hence Moonlight Serenade.
Thank you very much.
I did have another choice, but which was my first choice, which was Hole of the Moon. But I actually played that 2 weeks ago for somebody else. So
yeah, how many moon people have we had on?
Yeah, well, quite a few.
Yeah, we do.
There's a lot of us about.
Yeah, you could have played Sting walking on the moon.
Yeah, there were quite a few things I could play.
Quite a lot. But Blue Moon.
I won't play Blue Moon.
Oh, why? What happens?
No, I'm not telling you about that.
All right.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
Anyway, Sue, it's a pleasure to welcome you onto the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you very much for having me.
Sue is from T-Pole Products. I've used your products, which are fantastic, and I've got a little story about one of your products, which I used.
Is it personal?
No. It was a washing up liquid.
Yes.
Yeah, and it smelled lovely.
Yeah.
And that was my downfall. Yeah, because I used it to smear my bird feeder in to stop the squirrels climbing up it. But the squirrels quite like the smell of it, so they licked it off.
There you are. You have a squirrel attractor.
Yeah.
A new product, perhaps. It does smell nice.
Is it the gold?
It is the gold, and I also have one in my utility room that I'm using. And the packaging misleads you, doesn't it? Because it's so different to what you expect a washing up liquid packet to package to be, the gold one.
Is that the 500ml?
Yes.
Yeah. They call it an antiseptic bottle.
Oh, okay.
That's where mostly you
germs are. Yeah.
No, it's just that's the bottle shape.
Shape, yeah.
And we're only a very small business.
And a lovely business.
We can't have the fairy liquid bottle and then have the somebody else's hand soap bottle, and we have to share bottles amongst different products.
Yeah. So, well, let's start at the beginning, Sue, if we may, because the business has been around quite a while, hasn't it?
There's actually two businesses involved,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
The T-Pole, our brand business, has been around since 1942.
Gosh, you don't look at all.
Yes, I wasn't involved in it at that time.
Was it your ancestors? Or?
No, that was actually set up by Shell Chemicals.
Right.
All right, okay.
The possibly apocryphal story is that they wondered what to do with black gunk in the bottom of oil drums.
Right, okay.
And went away and did some chemical research analysis and cracking and came up with various chemicals, one of which they called T-Pole.
Right.
And it was a very, very good item for making things wet.
Okay.
It's described as making water wetter.
Right, okay.
Water, if you drop water on here, it sits in a bowl. It sits in a, you know, and because of the surface tension.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And the original T-Pole type chemical breaks that barrier.
Right, okay.
So it will make the water spread.
Right, okay.
And those, it's particularly important when you're cleaning cloth.
Okay.
To enable cleaning activity to get into
right.
the weft and yep. of the fabric. So that was our Teapole brand,
right?
Which was started in the 1940s, and at a similar time, my father, after the war, was working for BP.
Gosh, you've had Shell and BP in one show.
Big oil fanciers. Mm. And he set up a chemical company working with some friends who had just developed big floor polishing machines.
Right, okay.
And he was asked to make the
polish
and the liquids for use on in those machines.
Okay, right.
So he set up a chemical company up in London, Bermondsey, called well,
that's
eventually
that's South London, Jules.
Yeah, I know there. I'm just telling you. Been there.
Eventually, got called London Soap and Chemicals.
Okay.
So that was his manufacturing company, and they were there through 1950s. In the mid 60s, they were kicked out of London, so they could do bomb site redevelopment.
Right.
And were granted a lease on some land in Orpington.
Mm.
Where my father had a factory built, and that is where we still are.
Right, okay.
Fabulous story.
And how did you bring the London Soap Company and Teapole together?
Well, that at that time, they were sort of competitors.
Right.
Teapole and the company that held that trade name was subject to a management buyout by its own staff.
Right.
And eventually, two or three sets of staff further down, the last owners were looking to sell,
right?
Just because they wanted to retire.
Sure.
And at that time, I was working in the city, and we heard that the company was up for sale. So I came down to look at the figures and do the due diligence, and with a view to buying it.
Mm.
By that time, Teapole did not do its own manufacturing.
Right.
We continue to do the manufacturing, so we brought the two businesses together
to
get a really good brand name for ourselves, because Teapole is a global brand name.
Sure.
Admittedly, we only cover the UK and Ireland, but I export products worldwide.
Right.
Because there are some areas, particularly in the military, where there is a requirement for a certain type of cleaning product.
Right.
And because of Teapole's age, the one they normally know is a Teapole product.
Right, okay.
So what's the certain requirement for the military?
Well, it's not so much a requirement, it's that pretty well everything...
It mustn't explode.
Well, yes, there is that. But pretty well everything that members of the military use,
yeah,
you know, whether it be from T-shirts up to Bren guns...
Must be British.
No, not necessarily.
Really?
But must be made to a certain standard.
But, yeah.
Okay.
So, for example, our product is named in a particular Rolls-Royce spares catalogue for something that is suitable when you're mending a jet engine.
Right, OK.
Now, our product is being used to clean the grease off.
Right.
Wow.
Which is possibly not as important an activity as the nuts and bolts that you use to fix it back to the aeroplane.
Yeah.
But it's still that's still the requirement, that they still have to... They have to use products that are listed in the catalogue.
How many products do you actually make on your Orpington factory?
It depends how you define it. I mean, our catalogue probably runs to maybe 200 different products. Mm. Not all of them will necessarily be that distinctive from each other.
Sure, yeah.
And some will then be available in multiple bottle sizes.
Yeah.
So we can fill anything from a 50ml little alcohol gel up to a 1,000-litre big plastic bottle in a cage for use by other chemical companies in their manufacturing. So we do the whole range of manufacture, really.
Okay. And did the pandemic present you with opportunities? Did you pivot in that famous... activity that a lot of people have been involved in, did you pivot into sanitizer, or was it something you already did anyway?
We have been making this particular sanitizer since 1995.
Right, okay.
We have always made it.
Yeah.
We don't make a humongous amount of it, or didn't.
Mm.
But obviously, when the pandemic started, we started getting glimmerings in about February, January, February of last year, when we started getting inquiries from China.
Right. Really?
And Hong Kong for, have you got any alcohol hand sanitizer?
Wow.
So we did, in fact, ship thousands of these bottles over to Hong Kong.
So Sue's holding up a teapot hand sanitizer in a, what size
that's
a, is
that? That's a 50 mil.
So that's a handbag size, which is brilliant. It's what I carry about. Yeah.
And yes, we, obviously the problem was most of our normal business is not sanitizers. Mm. Our normal core business is products for the catering industry, right. Hotels, leisure centres, anywhere big that needs cleaning is our sort of customer base.
Bulk cleaning products, yeah.
Yeah, and powerful ones for professional use by professional cleaners.
Right.
And obviously that business pretty much died overnight as soon as lockdown started.
Yeah, sure.
But we had the benefit of absolutely, we just couldn't cope with the sheer demand
I can
for
imagine.
This stuff.
Yeah.
For the alcohol gels and the sanitizers and things of that sort. Our biggest problem was keeping stocks going.
Right.
Did
you
buy anything?
Did you contact any local breweries who were using their unused alcohol to make things? Or?
Actually, our main alcohol, our ethanol supplier.
Ethanol,
which is the alcohol we use for that, actually was part of a brewing group originally anyway.
Really?
And we've been using them. Mm. And I have to be honest, they supported us so well, that supplier. Mm. We went from, we would buy maybe we would buy 4,000 litres of ethanol about every 2 to 3 months, maybe every 4 months, pre-pandemic.
Right.
And last summer, we were buying 4,000 or 5,000 litres every week.
Right.
Okay. Wow. So your staff.
That sounds like George's drink builder. Yeah. Does.
Organic though. Yeah. But your staff, how did you cope then with the whole production line and the pandemic and social distancing?
I had, in order to do the initial orders for China and Hong Kong, which is quite a manual process for us for these small bottles, I had actually taken on 3 temps.
Right.
Because we weren't certain how long everything would last.
No.
So I took on some temporary staff, of whom 2 have since joined me permanently.
Right.
And 1 is still on temp contract after nearly 2 years.
Right.
But he works full time for us. And so that was how we enabled our spare filling line to be operated.
Right.
We have 3 main lines, and generally we only use 2 of them at any given time.
Sure.
So that's our permanent staffing is set up to do 2 lines. But in order to do this, we brought in enough to do to keep the other line running as well.
Okay.
And how do you ship to Hong Kong and China?
Well, it varies. Obviously, if it's a very heavy load, it'll go by sea. Mm. In a number of cases, we don't organise the shipping. Our customer does. If they're a big international importer, they already have their own freight people set
Haulage
up
that,
to do this. And if we need to make the shipping arrangements ourselves, I have a really good courier company who will organise all the international freight for me outside of Ireland, where we have regular shipments going over to Ireland.
Right, okay.
Cool.
So, you've got a range of products. You've got a range of 200, you say, cleaning products. Some of them highly specialised cleaning products, or at least highly specified. Highly specified products.
We have some that are have to be highly specified. Yes, subject to regulation. Well, all our products are subject to endless regulation.
Aren't we all?
EU, UK. Mm. One of my real pleasures of Brexit was that we went from having an EU-based chemical registration system, and as I've said, one of our big customers is in Ireland, and instead of it getting simpler, the UK replicated it.
Yes.
So now, instead of just doing one set of rules, we have to comply with two identical sets of rules.
Don't you love government?
I love all forms of regulation. I think it's a wonderful thing.
So, Sue, who is your customer? We know China and Hong Kong and hospitality industry, or who are you?
Well, I mean, we historically have sold through what in the cleaning industry is called distributors.
Right.
So I supply a distributor into who tends to concentrate on a particular area.
Yeah.
So there will be distributors who go into the leisure centre, leisure industries. There'll be other distributors who concentrate on restaurants,
hair and beauty,
they're various different types of distributor.
Mm.
And we historically have supplied them because the end customer doesn't really want much in the way of cleaning chemicals.
Yeah.
Mm.
They really want paper. Mm. They want serviettes. They want couch rolls. They want loo roll. They want paper towels.
And you don't get into any of that?
We don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. It requires a much bigger warehouse than a lot.
Personally, I love a blue roll. I'm a big fan of a blue roll.
Indeed. But so that's why we...
Yeah.
Our products are, by their nature, liquids.
Right.
Heavy by rate compared to value.
Yeah.
You can't put them in the post.
Yeah.
Not easily.
Yeah. not without a mess.
Not without a mess. And as I say, you know, if you look at the basic product of washing up liquid, it's not that valuable.
Mm.
You can pop into Tesco's and buy one for 50p.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And therefore, nobody is... That, it would cost me more than that to post it to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's why we've never really been retail.
Yeah, yeah.
However... We have just become, or we have just joined, the Amazon Vendor Program.
Right, okay.
Oh, so how does that work? I'm always fascinated by that. But I'm always fascinated. You go on Amazon and you can, you know, I buy my brow gel on Amazon, you know.
80% of everything sold on Amazon is from other businesses. People don't realise this. Mm. Yeah.
I would make the comment.
Mm.
Tell it like it is, Sue.
That... The experience of shopping on Amazon is fantastic.
Yeah.
You can find almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get it delivered next day.
Yeah.
You can see all about it. Unfortunately, when they were designing the software systems, whatever, for the people who supply them, they took the opposite approach. And it is incredibly difficult to fight your way through. Again, we're back on algorithms. So, you know, I'm trying to put product up there. And people are going, and because one of my customers has already put that product on Amazon.
Yeah, okay.
And they've got some errors in what they've said about it, factual or whatever. I can't work out how to get... Amazon knows I own the brand.
Yeah.
But I can't understand... I can't get them to understand, well, if I own the brand... I need to overwrite what that
customer
has said about my product.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's wrong. And you go round and round in circles. Yeah,
yeah. That's a bit like trying to cancel your, you know, the stuff that you get on whatever it's called on Amazon, on repeat, what is the word for it?
Yeah,
subscription.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get a little discount. So I do that for some of my things, vitamins or whatever. And you try and cancel it. It's
well,
just...
I've somehow also managed to restart a Prime subscription.
Yeah.
I can't at the moment.
They're very clever at doing it.
Which credit card it's on. I think it might be on the business credit card because it was probably I was buying something for business.
Yeah.
And I've got to try and find a way of cancelling it again.
Yeah, they're very good at making it quite difficult for things like that.
Very weird. But no, as I say, this is something we've just started. It's only been in the last couple of months that we've put our first goods into Amazon warehouses for them to sell on for us around the country.
Fantastic. And so we're kind of coming to the end of talking about this, and it's a fascinating...
Could go on for hours.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love businesses like yours that have a history, but are kind of totally involved in the modern world as
There's
well.
There's a book there, I think.
Oh, I think there probably is.
So,
talking of books,
yes,
we're sponsoring the Royal British Legion's 100th centenary cookbook this year.
Oh,
are you?
Of which I have a copy.
Yes, you do.
Yes,
so on my we kitchen. Have an article in there. Which is nice.
Cool. Do you have an R&D department? Are you researching new products or are you tending to focus on what you've got?
They're not into that kind of music.
This is one of the arguments I have with endless consultants who ring me up. and who, because of the government's tax credits for research and development, go, oh, but we could get you back thousands. And I'm going, no, we don't do that sort of research.
Yeah.
What we will do is we will take an existing formulation,
yeah.
we'll tinker with it. Yeah. Might change its perfume and change yeah. its colour, alternate, put in a different raw material. But we don't do new product development.
Right.
That was my father's.
So would you not go into the whole eco thing?
Eco is very difficult.
Lavender and eucalyptus and...
Yeah, I mean, I can do you a very nice lavender foam bath, but...
But the squirrels lick it off. It's no good, Jules. I've told you this before.
I hope they were foaming at the mouth after they did
it. Oh, yeah, they were, yeah.
They were high for days.
Yeah, they queued up for more chilli birdseed after that, yeah.
So will you go through the eco? Because it's so hip at the moment. It's so now, isn't it?
I mean, I go, yes. I have eco issues, but... Unless we go back to the medieval period or the Stone Age, we are not going to be able to stop climate change.
Mm.
And my view of eco tends to be, what do you mean by eco?
Mm.
20 years ago, the big eco thing in our industry was renewables.
Mm.
And therefore, instead of using oil from the ground, we, all of the companies... ended up having to put a proportion of palm oil in all their products. Mm. And the end result? No habitat for the orangutan.
Yeah.
We're having a similar thing now with plastics.
Mm.
Yeah.
That, you know, but I'm sorry, I can't ship washing up liquid. I could probably do it in glass, but it wouldn't be very safe.
Yeah. Put it in a cardboard box.
I can't, well, it used to come in tins, petrol cans.
Yeah.
In the very old days. That's why it came from Shell and BP.
Yeah, of course.
But even they have to be plastic lined.
Yeah. Mm.
Otherwise, the chemicals will eat the metal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't quite see what an alternative is.
Yeah.
My view of eco is I make very strong products.
Yeah.
My products are incredibly versatile. They will clean much more than the one thing it says on the bottle.
Mm.
And we supply in large bottles, so less plastic per use. And... you know, have one bottle under the sink, not five different little ones.
Mm.
And as you say, I mean, glass at the moment has a problem in any case because we've got a shortage of it.
Yeah.
Well yes, in
blood tests and things.
Test tube size, yes. Yeah.
Wrong kind of sand, apparently.
No, we've run out of sand.
Oh.
Have we?
there's not enough sand. That's the problem.
Look, we can't let Sue go without her top tip for household cleaning.
Ooh. I get into a lot of trouble when people ask me this.
She's like the Delia Smith, isn't she, of cleaning?
Actually, an awful lot of cleaning products are unnecessary.
Yeah.
And a boiling hot cloth, preferably with a bit of a detergent like our multipurpose or the gold, will do 95% of the cleaning you need. It'll remove the grease.
Yeah.
That's helped.
I saw that on there, yeah, brilliant idea.
There are some specialist things that you do need. If you want to descale something, you need a descaler.
Sure.
But, you know, that's... So I do get into a lot of trouble when people say that, but my general advice is a good quality detergent and anything that is not porous, as in it's not going to soak up water, can be washed with it.
Right.
Whether it be your car, your bath... your wash basins, your sink, your clothes, not clothes, I probably wouldn't, well, actually, it used to be. Mm. You know, your dishes, everything can be cleaned with that one product.
Right.
Brilliant.
So it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for telling us about the history of the London Soap Company and Teapole.
Teapole.
If people want to find out more about your products, what's the best way to do that? What's your website?
Website is www.teapole.com. teapol.co.uk.
Fantastic. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, and that'll be there forever. Check it out. They've got some fantastic products. Jules and I have both used Teapole products.
Yeah.
And they are brilliant.
Yeah.
Even my squirrels like it, but that's another story. Right. I'm going to press the button again this time. And now it's the right time to press the button. But what I don't want is any interference.
No interference. I'll just sit and eat lovely mini tea cake bites brought in by Darren.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup.
offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Have you missed an FSB event? You can pop over to the Hub, where you'll find more popular webinars recorded and ready for you to use. If you want to find anything on demand, go to fsb.org.uk/skills-hub. That's fsb.org.uk/skills-hub. Also, the London Resort Small Business Hub has now had an excellent launch, and it attracted over 800 SMEs. If you would like to find out more, if you go to londonresort.info/suppliers. This is a hub for small businesses to find out what tenders are going on, to put their details on there in order to get business. So that's londonresort.info/suppliers. I've got a number of events now that are going to be taking place over the coming weeks. I'm going to read you all the events, and then I'm going to give you one link where you can find them, find more detail, and book your place. Let me get this in the right date order. That would help everybody, I think. There's creating a high performance. No, we've done that one. Want to launch on Amazon. And don't know where to start. This is one that's just for Sue. Yeah, it's taking place manana tomorrow, Wednesday, the 8th of September, 1 till 2pm. Whether you're about to start selling on Amazon or planning for future growth, Amazon remains one of the quickest routes to market for any business. This webinar will give you the tools to prepare your business for selling on Amazon and what to expect in order to grow profitably on the platform. It'll also help you override... No, I made that bit up.
It's too late. I should have had that Thursday.
Yeah, you should have had that before.
3 months ago.
Yeah. There's a property and construction event, Getting Two Types of Funding, taking place this Thursday, the 9th of September, 8am to 9am. Peter Searle is the host. It's a four-part series of events on behalf of the Kent and Medway FSB entitled How to Get On in the Property Sector. This event will focus on securing two types of funding. Alex Millam from ASC will discuss what investors are looking for in the project funding application, and Robert Edge from iConstruct will advise on grant funding for developers, contractors and subcontractors. That's Thursday, 9th of September at 8am. Also on Thursday is Maximise Your Membership, Thursday the 9th of September, 12.30 to 1.30. This Maximise Your Membership session is free online event open to all new joiners to the FSB, as well as existing members that want to refresh their memories regarding the available benefits. On Thursday, Thursday's a busy day in the world of the FSB. On Thursday the 9th of September, there's the Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, 11am to 12pm with an optional after party. Right, OK. 12 to 12.30. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. The event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. Then on Monday the 13th of September, 9.30am to 10.30, the end of furlough. On the 30th of September, the furlough scheme will come to an end, meaning that business owners will be faced with decisions about how to remodel their businesses to respond to new or changed operating practices. The webinar will focus on the practical legal aspects for business owners of bringing staff fully back into the workplace and making any changes needed to adapt to the new normal and different ways of working, as well as advice on dealing with the well-being and emotional side of making changes. So that's Monday the 13th of September, the end of furlough. There's also Good Food Growth Kent. It's a virtual Meet the Buyers event in association with Produced in Kent. And this is taking place on the 9th of September. There are a few spaces left for buyers looking to grow their local food and drink supply chain as the interest in local food, traceability and provenance continues and consumers continue to redefine their relationship with food and drink. This is your opportunity to meet suppliers from across the southeast of England. If you'd like to know more, there's an email address. It's jillsargent@producedinkent.co.uk. That's G with a J. Jill.Sargent, S-A-R-G-E-N-T, jill.sargent@producedinkent.co.uk. And there's coming up in October is the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony. This year, the Kent and Medway FSB will be supporting the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony 2021. This will be a virtual event held on Friday, the 8th of October, and is set to be a memorable event recognising the valuable role apprentices play in the workplace. If you are an apprentice, employer, or know an apprentice that you feel deserves recognition, please feel free to nominate them. All of those events can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, where there's a full list that's regularly updated of all the FSB Kent and Medway events, where you can find more detail and you can click on the link to book your place. And that is the FSB news for this week.
Lovely. Lots going on.
There's lots going on, especially on Thursday. Or Thursday's tunnel. A very busy day.
You do know I'm going to Rutland next week.
Are you? That won't take long.
Is it the smallest county
in the
UK?
It's the smallest county. It's not even a county anymore, is it?
Is it not?
No.
Well, I'm going there. And it's my mission, because I'm not really travelling or not getting into travel at the moment because I'm one jabbed.
Are you going camping? Yeah, yeah. You're going in the old camper.
Van, yeah.
Are you?
And the first 3 days we're going wild. We're in a farm with no on a lake with no facilities whatsoever.
Your sink.
Well, we're on the edge of the lake, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
But, yeah, that's a bit scary, isn't it? You know, I've got braver and braver. No facilities, the new husband said. And I said, oh, yeah, fine. Then I thought about it. Yeah, gumboots, I think. And there's a hurricane coming, apparently.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. But it'll miss Rutland, because Rutland's too small.
Is it near Cumberland? I don't even know where I'm going.
No, it's nowhere near Cumberland.
Is it not?
No.
Melton Mowbray. It's the land of Melton Mowbray, apparently. Pork pies.
Melton Mowbray's in Leicestershire.
Where's Rutland?
Next to Leicestershire.
Well, there you are.
What can you do?
Yeah, but all I'm hearing is news. All I'm hearing is Melton Mowbray, and it must be near.
Melton Mowbray is the nearest place with civilization to what's left of Rutland. Rutland hasn't been a county for ages. It was the smallest county. The population of the whole of the county of Rutland is 14,000 people.
And
it's
me.
Tiny.
And me and the new husband.
And you and your husband and a lake.
The dogs refuse to go. I mean, she's staying at home.
Don't blame her. I'm not going there. They've got no facilities. Anyway, do you know what?
Is it news time?
It's time to join the Channel Radio newsroom, really. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to, Mr. Tim Aker of the Federation of Small Business. And
some of the businesses aren't that small anymore.
No, they're not. No,
I've been
not.
Noticing.
Yeah, yeah. But we're blessed in the County of Kent. We have 144,000 SMEs. We are the second largest county, I think, in the UK in terms of small businesses.
Larger than Rutland, apparently.
I think our studio is larger than Rutland. We've got more small businesses in the studio than Rutland have got. It's a lovely place, so I'm sure. It's famous for the rut. If you remember.
No, I've got no idea what the rattle was. That a children's programme?
No.
Sounds like one. Was it beer?
No, well, I can't tell you now because I'm going to the newsroom.
Is it the news?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know. Here we go.
Let's find out.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson has confirmed a 1.25% rise in national insurance tax. It's to fund social care and the NHS waiting list backlog. But Labour